This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Ben Standing is with us, as he is every day during training camp, 12 noon, right here on the team, 980. Ben, of course, now has a Substack place of writing. You can find it at lastmanstanding.substack.com. You can just link to it by following Ben on X and on Twitter at Ben Standing. So, day three practice after the veterans reported on Tuesday, and still no Terry. Was it you who asked Quinn about Terry this morning?
I did. I was just kind of like, you know, we haven't brought this up now. I mean, I don't know if it needs to be a daily question. And Quinn, as he did, didn't really answer it. But yes, I was like, you know, I kind of feel like we need to bring it up again. So, you know, since he's not the one in the negotiations, it was, I think I just asked, hey, are you kind of surprised that it's still going? And, you know, he just said, hey, you don't have to ask. If we get this done, I'll tell you. Don't worry about it. I'm like, okay. But yeah, I mean, I think, look, obviously it's the topic. I mean, you know, there's nothing else to say. And, it wasn't asked. In fact, like, we had Zach Ertz today in the tent, and he was not asked about Terry. But when it was over, press conference was over, and he walked out, he said sort of out loud generally, he was like, boy, nobody asked the question I thought I was going to get, meaning Terry. and it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, how many times are we going to ask a player, what do you think? And they're all going to say the same thing of, hey, look, he's our teammate, he's our brother, he's got to do what he's got to do. I did ask Deron Payne later, I just said, you know, you're one of the few guys who's been here longer than Terry. It's just odd that 17's not out on the field. And he's like, yeah, a little bit, but hey, you know, it's business, he's got to do what he's got to do. So there's only so many times we can keep asking that, but, you know, Quinn's the coach. If they're going to put him out there and we don't get Peters, then, you know, he's got to answer these questions.
I was thinking about this after Peters spoke on Tuesday. We won't get Peters again, right?
Right. I mean, maybe cut down day or sometime before the season. But yeah, no, he in theory will not be joining us again. I mean, I guess if somehow, let's just say, you know, the nuclear option starts happening and Terry's side says they want to trade, you know, does Adam Peters address that? I don't know, but we'll see how they handle that. But yeah, that in theory, we won't talk to him again until something is done or, you know, cuts are happening, something like that.
Yeah, and I would assume we'll get Josh Harris right before the season starts. Maybe that's the wrong assumption, but I think we got that last year right before the season started, right or not?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, obviously with Josh Harris, the stadium situation could lead him to being in front of a microphone. Sure. Sooner than that, especially if the August 1st vote happens and it's, you know, it goes positively, he may come out then, and then I guess somebody could slip in a Terry question. But yeah, no, yeah. I mean, yes, we're not going to hear from anybody who's actually involved in the discussion until either it gets resolved or we get, you know, right up to the season.
You know, on the stadium front, I had Eric Flack on the show in the first hour today because I think that yesterday the presentation was we're a week away from this thing being finalized and done. That's actually not the case. There are two votes required, right, on this. One a week from today, and then another one in mid-September. And it's not simple majority. More likely than not, it's two-thirds vote. Now, it's still an odds-on and a heavy odds-on favorite to get done, but not within the timetable, I think, that most assumed after Mendelsohn, you know, got chesty with what a much better deal he cut for the city than the one the mayor cut, which I'm not saying is inaccurate. I just thought it was strange at how sort of confrontational it was in that tweet. But anyway, we move on. I'm going to ask you... Yeah, go ahead.
I just say on that front, like, you know, when Bowser and Harris had that press conference in April to announce they'd come to an agreement, I think generally for casual people, they thought, okay, this is a done deal. The stadium is happening. And rather it was more like, well, we came up to this agreement and we're going to sort of put the onus on the DC City Council to be the bad guy here and say no, but we've done our part. It kind of felt like Mendelsohn sort of did the same. Like he was like, okay, I've heard now from the commanders. The president's weighing in. Okay, I've now taken it to the next step, but it is still, I heard this from Eric Flack. I think he was on with Grant and Danny. No, actually, it's not the council who got here. It's the chairman, and he's kind of doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They all want, you know, the credit for it if it indeed happens, and I think it will. But as I said to Eric earlier today, most people don't pay attention to all of this. And this will be attached to, and I think in many ways justifiably so, to Mayor Bowser's legacy. You know, they're not going to remember. Nobody remembers, unless you were really paying attention, what the city council vote was for Nats Park to bring the Expos here. And, you know, 15, 20 years from now, just like Sharon Pratt Kelly was hung out to dry for chasing Jack Kent Cook to Maryland back in, you know, the mid-90s, Mayor Bowser is going to get the credit for this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, she, and, you know, without getting overly political, like, she, to me, seems to have done a pretty masterful job. You know, I mean, Ted Leontis was, you know, seemingly on the verge of taking those teams out. She reeled that back in. She has seemingly done as well as any Democrat when it comes to dealing with the president of the United States. You know, she kept whatever the deals have come up, she's been able to forge a relationship seemingly with him in ways that others haven't. And you know, she got James Comer in the Oversight Committee to help. You know, I think the Oversight Committee wanted to get rid of the RFK site to a degree because get rid of the property, smaller government, whatever. But she still was able to forge that relationship, not be antagonistic. And now this. So, yeah, I think she seems like she's done a great job for her legacy, whether it's great for the city. You know, what do I know about the money? But, you know, it certainly seems like she's been able to navigate these waters in a pretty successful way.
All right. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course. I'm going to ask you the question that I asked callers last hour, and that is, this is clearly hypothetical, and it's not going to happen because he's going to end up playing for the team, whether it's on an extension, a contract extension, or on the final year of his deal. But what would life without Terry look like, you know, and quantify it? How many fewer games do you think the team would win if he didn't play for the team in 2025?
Yeah, I heard you talking about this a little bit earlier. I think you were saying, like, the receivers are maybe, like, one game max, whereas the quarterback might, you know, who knows, 5, 6, whatever. So it's interesting, right? Like, so I've talked about this before. You know, you and I have talked about the idea of spending on receivers, and I'm always like, well, I wouldn't want to spend a lot on more than one. Maybe you draft another guy in the first round, and eventually that rookie contract you got to pay. But because when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels or Mahomes or Josh Allen, like, those guys make everybody around them better to the point that you don't have to have the best guys. But that said, you still have to have, you know, pretty reasonable guys, right? I mean, but it's not like Josh Allen has nobody. It's just he doesn't necessarily have one of the top 5 or 10 guys in the league. Same with Mahomes. If McLaurin were not to be here now, the idea that Jaden could make people better is not work as well. So today was a good example. It's only OTA. It's only a training camp. Sorry. You know, it's not the end of the world, but, today was a tough day for the offense. Now, the defense is often ahead of the offense in these stages of the camp. We get that. But no Terry, Noah Brown, while he was stretching, I did see him moving a little bit. He looked pretty reasonable to me, different than saying getting hit, but it, you know, he was moving around fine. He was, you know, high-stepping and doing some other things, but he wasn't practicing today. Okay. Boy, they had Luke McCaffrey and Chris Moore kind of lined up with the ones as the receivers. You know, Jaden's first pass was a play where Quan Martin and Mikey Sanderslow converged on the receiver. Sanderslow got the pick. Marcus Mariota's second pass got Tyler Owens jumped the play, intercepted it. It's only to say that looking at the receivers, like, oh boy, if Terry is not out here, if the nuclear option really happens, they do not have enough of a receiver. Like, I get what you're totally saying about it not, it being only maybe a one game difference, but that's, for me, assuming that the other receivers are at least pretty good. Sure, they have Deebo Samuel, but, you know, that's kind of it. And, yeah, maybe hopefully Noah Brown is able to play, but, you know, his injury history is like, well, I don't know. We'll see. So I do think under the current circumstances, not having Terry could be kind of detrimental because they just don't have those other pieces the way, again, Buffalo and Kansas City have built their team. To, hey, we have to have good receivers. We just don't have to spend $20 million or more a year to get them because we have these quarterbacks. So that, well, I think, look, for this year, it would be kind of tough.
I said to a caller, you know, I said, look, the best arguments for no real supporting cast in Buffalo and Kansas City is their defenses. And this team's defense isn't very good, or at least as, you know, we understand it now. It could be completely different when we get there. Look, they're better with Terry, clearly. But I wouldn't, at this point on July 25th, start to get concerned about what they have or don't have at wide receiver without him. I just don't think that what you're watching out there necessarily will be accurate, you know, in terms of Noah Brown and Deebo and McCaffrey and Gallup and, you know. I think that we won't know that until we see real games. Now, it's possible that they'll answer that with, we got to go out and get Amari Cooper, or we got to go out and get somebody else that's out there, you know, and available. Because I think there are, like, I think the receivers that are still out there are like Gabe Davis, and I think Amari Cooper is still out there, right?
I believe
but not
so, yeah.
That I'd be thrilled with Amari Cooper at this point. He hasn't been very good in recent years. But there's somebody else out there. I'm forgetting who it is, but whatever. I think that Jaden would elevate everything around him and they wouldn't fall apart without Terry. I think they'd very much be a team that would be capable of winning more games than they lose and being a postseason team. Unless I'm wrong about Jaden. But if I'm right about Jaden, if we're all right about Jaden, he'll elevate everything about around him and win more than they lose.
I think you're right about Jaden completely. I'm just saying though that, like, you know, the Chiefs didn't have a great receiving core once Rashee Rice got hurt, but they still have Travis Kelce. You know, again, if you look at the receivers that Josh Allen has, he'll have good guys. Like, you know, Curtis Samuel on that team was like the third guy, which isn't to say that Curtis Samuel, as we saw here, you know, he's not great, but he's, you know, pretty good. I other than Deebo, I think Curtis Samuel would be better than every receiver they have here, right? So I'm just saying that, like, for the moment, as the way this team is constituted, I don't know that just simply saying Jaden will elevate is enough. But in a broader context, if you're building a roster, and I think this is presumably how Adam Peters is having this conversation, it's like, look, man, we really like you, but I don't know that we feel we have to pay you $30 million because with this quarterback, we can eventually get other receivers that he will be able to work with who aren't going to cost that much. But I just don't know that right now they have enough.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because it's like, of course they would be better with him, and it would sync up with a season in which they are going for it to try to win a Super Bowl. And at the same time, part of their thinking is, we have one of those guys. If we had Dak Prescott, or we had Jared Goff, or we had Baker Mayfield, or Geno Smith, there'd be more of, I think, an urgency to make sure Terry's in the fold. There's a lot of things working here. It'd be fascinating, wouldn't it be, to be able to know what those conversations about Terry are inside that building? Because I think, in many ways, it has less to do with age and more to do with how they really value him and how he values himself. And there's a delta there. You know, they think he is worth this, and in part it's because of what they have at quarterback, and he's going to do that to a lot of other players, and he's looking at it like, man, you know, I'm as good as any of these, you know, four or five guys that are directly under Chase and Jefferson. It's interesting. What do you make of that? That my hunch is this has less to do with age and more to do with how they evaluate him in the context of the offense, the coordinator, and the quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, when we were all having the discussions back in February about, hey, they should go out and get T. Higgins or, you know, go out and get another receiver, and I'm like, absolutely not. I don't think you spend that kind of money at that position, especially when you have the type of quarterback that it looks like they have who elevates those around him. Like to use a, you know, when the Giants had Daniel Jones, look, Daniel Jones is not nearly as good as Jaden Daniels, but the year that he had help around him, when he had Saquon, he had Andrew Thomas at tackle, he had some other pieces, he was fine, but he needs people around him. A quarterback like Jaden doesn't necessarily do that. And I imagine that is part of the conversation. What I guess I would like to know is there a world where, like, look, if they can't agree, whether it's the years or the total money or whatever, are we really saying that, like, two for 60, it's mostly guaranteed, that can't be enough? It gets Terry back in the market quick. It gets them, they're spending money while Jaden's still in the rookie deal. It keeps them at a high level here. And I'm not saying you just throw away money, but what are we talking about? Like, you know, like, it's not that.
We're talking about a big difference in overall, you know, output to him for 2 years, because they have control over him for 2 years for a lot less money.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, look, this is what we also talked about before. This isn't just about, are they getting the best deal financially? What about what it says about them? What does it say about how they're running the business and what it means to the locker room? And, you know, again, these are, that's why this conversation, I think, is more nuanced than I think a lot of people. I listen to, like, the national media talk about this because they just view this as they do with any other conversation of a holdout. And I can tell that, like, they don't get it, what's really happening here. They're like, is Terry wanting to reset the market or whatever? And I'm like, no, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it has to do a lot with what you're talking about, that Adam Peters and this organization, they have all the leverage. In 2022, Terry had all the leverage because this organization was a dumpster fire. And good luck not paying our guy when you guys are absolutely miserable. He's the only thing you have. Now, you have a quarterback. You're coming off a 12-win season. You made the NFC Championship game. In Adam, we trust. Go ahead, but not take a knock at what we're doing right now. Good luck trying to say, you know, that we don't know what we're doing. You can't. So they have the leverage. And, like, you know, they also have the franchise tag option next year if they want to go that route. But, you know, then it becomes just the point of how far do you push it? And that's where this is going to get interesting. I do think for this season, if there's a world where Terry McLaurin is not here, whatever that means, I don't know that they have enough of a receiver, even in the case of saying Jaden Daniels steps up to be enough. This is where does Luke McCaffrey have a good summer, well, enough where they feel comfortable?
You're arguing against the team's got all the leverage with what you just said.
Well, but that's a short term, long term. Like, look, it is what it is. They're in the box that they're in. But Adam Peters is looking at this from a long term position. If Terry's looking for a 3 and 4 year deal, that's different than saying 2025. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know, if Terry's going to hold out all the way, okay. Well, I mean, that's not good. But, like, I don't think they have enough to be comfortable at receiver. But long term, do they want to have this guy locked up for all this money? And then, now they can't maybe do other things. I think that's the different part of the argument. So,
I mean, the what I'm looking at, you know, here's where they have the leverage. It's the tangible stuff, like the actual dollars and cents of it, because they basically have, you know, $15.5 million that they owe Terry in a base salary in this upcoming season. And the franchise tag next year would be like 28 or 29, you know, somewhere around there, I think. So you're talking about 43, 44 million versus what you just suggested, 60, you know, 2 for 30, 2 years for 30. So you have that. Not to mention the fact that if for whatever reason Terry didn't produce at the same level and there was some decline noticed, they wouldn't have to franchise tag him. And you could all, and if he blew up and had a massive year, you could also do the contract extension next year. But the it's the other stuff. It's the, you know, it's kind of the intangible, the abstract stuff that we're talking about where, yeah, but you want to take care of this player and you want him to be really happy and thrilled, which his professionalism may hurt him in this situation because he would never be a disgruntled player, you know, once he, you know, gets onto the field. And by the way, he'd have every incentive to have a massive year if this were the last year of his contract. So that's kind of working against him. But to your point, it's like, yeah, but you're trying to go for it right now. Let's try to make everybody happy and get him in the fold. It's tricky. The whole thing is. And yeah, here we are. We're 3 days past the point both of us thought this would get to. We both thought a deal would be done before camp began.
Yeah, no, for sure. By the way, you mentioned the franchise tag. Looking at over the cap, their projection for the franchise tag next year is about $28 million.
Yeah, I see that.
So if you look at that as like a potential number, could that, you know, could both sides, you know, this was always the issue with Kirk Cousins and, you know, the Commanders were all, or the Redskins at the time were offering him lower numbers, and he was like, cool, I'll take the tag.
The numbers were much lower than the franchise tag. Yeah.
Right. So here it's like, well, Terry, if you want 30, okay, but like we can just tag you next year for 28.
Right.
And
that's my point. Like, yeah, to give him a 3-year deal at $30 million a year with 60 to 70 guaranteed, when really right now for the next two, they only have to guarantee $43 million if they keep him with the tag, and they've got the option to not use the tag. It's like there's a big difference there.
Right, and that's also sort of to my point of, like, again, I'm not throwing Josh Harris's money around, but factor in the look for the organization, the locker room, all that.
I know.
Can you not get, you know, can you do a two-year deal for that money kind of more or less, or even a little bit more? You know, it's like, look, the Eagles did not have to give Saquon Barkley a new deal, but obviously he was amazing last year. They won a Super Bowl, and they were like, yeah, let's do this. Let's get all the good feels in there. For a guy like Terry, the year he just had, the career he's had, the guy he is, this is where I think the disconnect is a little bit for people. It's like, wait a minute, why aren't they taking care of this guy? And again, with Jaden being on the rookie deal for a couple more years, it's not like this is affecting that. When you get into the Jaden has to get paid territory, okay, then that's a different conversation. But we're not there for a couple of years, so why not just figure out how to do it? But again, we don't know exactly. Is it a year's thing? Is it the money thing, or what's going on here?
Yeah, let me just also add that, you know, doing the play it on your final year of the contract and then worst case we'll franchise you next year if we can't get an extension done, this is a massive cash flow advantage for the team too, because they don't have to put down 40 and put another, or put down 40 and put another 30 into escrow, you know? So there's a lot going on here for sure that I think not everybody's thinking about from the team's perspective, but I think ultimately it comes down to, there's definitely a delta here, and it's probably more driven by the way they view Terry and what he means to the team and the way he views himself. And there's just a bit of, not that they don't view him very highly. By the way, you didn't answer the question. You didn't quantify. How many fewer games would they win if he didn't play for them?
And we're assuming they don't get some equivalent receiver.
There isn't an equivalent receiver.
Well, I just mean like they make a trade, whatever. We're just saying this is the group they have.
Yes.
Were I like in a normal scenario, I agree on your one game. I think it might be a little bit more, though, because of what I was saying. Like, I don't know that they have enough of a receiver for even Jaden to lift because of just of how they've been built. It's not a knock on Jaden. It's just at some point you have to have enough.
So Ja'Cory Brooks, I saw some people tweeting out that he looks like he's headed for stardom. So you don't believe that yet?
That's so funny. I've been on the Ja'Cory Brooks. Like this, I've been
saying
for a while
that you're going to be wrong, but it's not because of what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm just like, look, I think he's a sleeper. But like anybody who's like, this is where it gets carried away. Like everybody who's acting, I see the same thing as I hear people talking out there. I'm like,
I get tagged to these things all the time. I don't even respond.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, like I will say this, that with Terry out and Noah Brown limited, it does give these other guys opportunities. It's giving Luke McCaffrey time to play with Jaden. It's giving, you know, Brooks or Chris Moore, others a chance to do some things. And Brooks is the kind of guy, he was a five-star recruit at Alabama, didn't really work out there, transfers to Louisville, has a pretty good year last year with Shook, the guy that may be the Saints starter this year. He's got, you know, some size, other traits, could play special teams. But there's also a reason why he was an undrafted free agent. I mean, he's super raw, and, you know, he also dropped some passes. I don't know if that gets out on Twitter. So I'm intrigued by him as, like, maybe the sixth receiver sleeper. But, yeah, that's not helping. That's not has anything to do with, Terry McLaurin or anything like that.
So let's talk about, real quickly, we're talking to Ben Standing, of course. I did see all of you basically tweeting, bad day for the offense, good day for the defense. So just elaborate.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, first, you know, in day one of training camp, the first pass from Jaden Daniels and 11s was the throw to Debo that I was gushing about so much the other day, you started making fun of me, correctly so.
I was making fun of you, but you'd make fun of it too. I said, was Micah Parsons rushing Jaden or not? That's all.
100%.
Yeah.
So today, first pass, I'm not sure who the receiver was, but he throws, and Quan Martin and Mikey Sanders still converge on the ball, gets tipped, Sanders still picks it off, first pass. Then Mariota comes in right after that. His second pass, Tyler Owens jumps the route, gets picked off. And it kind of went from there. The defense just kind of kept gaining momentum, it felt like, and the offense just couldn't quite get anywhere. But that's what I'm saying. It was that moment where I was like, looking, boy, their receivers are not getting open here for the most part. And again, the defense, it's a completely apples to oranges to a real situation. The defense knows what's coming, kind of. But I'm just saying, like, that's why I think the defense was looking like it had more of the edge. They were, you know, yelling and screaming as every time they were making a play. And it was some other plays, too, in terms of, like, passes defended. But, you know, again, you have to give grains of salt to all of this. But it was a day where the defense did look better. And like I said, for me, it was the moment I was like, oh, boy, you know, they really don't have their best receivers out here, and this is a little bit dicey. And look, you know, like Jalen Lane is playing, right, a fourth-round pick opportunity for him. I haven't seen a ton of him at a receiver yet where I'm like, okay, this guy could come in and play immediately. I'm not there yet. Returner, he's got the speed, but I don't know about being a difference maker at receiver right now. And, you know, Debo Samuel is not a traditional receiver that you're going to say, here, we're lining you up on the outside, we're throwing you 10 times in this game, and, you know, work it. No, you get him the ball in other ways, but not that way. So I think that, to me, is the kind of why the defense was getting the better of it today. And again, often at this time of year, the defense is ahead of the offense. That's always the sort of standard view, and today was certainly one of those days.
I got the transcript from the Quinn presser before practice today, and I thought that there was one interesting question and answer. I asked you the question yesterday on the show, and that is, he was asked about, you can tell me who asked the question, maybe it was you, on differences, on the difference in Daron Payne with John Allen now gone. And he said in the answer to that question, there's an energy about him and a discipline that he's really ready to take everything on. What did you make of the answer?
Yeah, if we didn't have the backdrop of 2022, where Daron Payne had a monster year, right? I mean, of the four defensive linemen who were picked in the first round, I think it's fair to say,
yes,
tell me if I'm wrong, that Daron's year was the best that any of them had individually.
Chase, so he's already, maybe Chase's rookie year.
Okay. So my point is that he's already done it, and John Allen was there, and they were all there. So the idea that he's now more focused because they're not there, I don't know that I completely buy that. But sure, he's you know, they're all saying he appears more focused. Great. They need him to be that level, but I don't. Look, whatever we think of the relationship with him and John Allen, again, John Allen was here in 2022, and Daron Payne was crushing. So I don't know that I buy that. And, you know, like, whatever. Dan Quinn's got to do what he's got to do to motivate. John's not here. Chase isn't here. Montez isn't here. That all doesn't matter. Daron's here. And, you know, if they think he's more focused and playing harder, great. But, I don't know how much I'm buying anything that it's just because John Allen's gone.
All right, last one, because I brought his name up the other day, and somebody asked about Ben Sinnott today. They actually said Ben Sinnott and Javonte John-Baptiste, who we know that they kind of liked last year. And, you know, Quinn brought him up unsolicited in that introductory presser as well. Any kind of, and not based on what you're seeing on the field, but any with what you're, who you're talking to, a feeling that maybe Sinnott ends up having a much larger role than we perhaps during the offseason anticipated?
I just think it comes down to how often are they using three tight ends? Or does, I mean, look, again, I don't know about that. We don't know if Zach Ertz is going to be able to play all 17 games. It was a surprise he did last year, but, you know, he looks pretty good shape to me, Zach Ertz. It looks like he's, you know, continues to, you know, age backwards a little bit here with Washington. I think to me that's the question. And because other than that, like John Bates is going to be the blocker and Ertz is going to be the main target. So how do you fit in Ben Sinnott? So I don't think it's necessarily a ding on Sinnott to say maybe he doesn't show a ton this year. It's just you got to tell me how they get more guys involved. Now, look, if we go with the extreme scenario that Terry is out, they'll have to find other ways to move the ball, and maybe that's where you get more of these, you know, you put your best players on the field and maybe they think that's going with the three tight ends. But look, I think Sinnott has, you know, he looks interesting. I think Colson Yankoff, who's an insane athlete, I think is interesting as well. I'm not ruling him out of having some kind of a role, but again, and by the way, they also have like you know, Tyree Jackson, who was this quarterback at Buffalo, a 6'7" quarterback that converted in the league to tight end. He's bounced around. He made a couple of nice, really nice catches today. He's massive. I mean, you know, talk about red zone size. I was talking to your pal Chris Russell on the sideline. He was talking about Lawrence Cager, another deep tight end who's got a good size. I don't know that any of that matters, but my point is just like, unless Zach Ertz is out, I don't know how any of these guys are playing. So I think that's just the issue right now.
All right. We'll save Bill Kroski Merritt for the next conversation. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, I got his bus for Canton ready to go.
Yeah, I've seen you tweeting things out to that effect. Appreciate it. And maybe, I hope you're right.
We'll see.
Ben Standig. Cool. Everybody, when we come back, Ben told us yesterday Von Miller's a really good interview. He's right. We're going to play some of what Von Miller said yesterday after camp when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
So today, after practice, Quinn spoke before practice. After practice, it was Ertz and Daron Payne. Not a lot out of those two. We do have some Dan Quinn sound from before practice that we'll play before the end of the show. But Ben said to us yesterday on the show, he's like, Von Miller, he is a talker. So I went back and I listened to the Von Miller press avail after training camp practice yesterday. He's definitely an interesting dude. And he's smart and he's quick and he's thoughtful. Hopefully, he'll be a really good player on the field as well. But there were two sound bites that I wanted to play for you. They were both questions. They were asked by David Aldridge. This was the first one on why he picked Washington.
You've been intentional last few years about where you wanted to go and the places you wanted to go. What about this organization was compelling to you?
Yeah, it was extremely intentional coming here. You just can't leave Josh Allen and go anywhere, man. You know, you just can't go from, you know, the AFC Championship and just, you know, go anywhere. I feel, you know, whenever you get older too, losses, they like pile up. It seems like they just hit way harder than what they used to when you were young. And, you know, this team is all about winning. You know, I'm all about winning. Whatever it takes to win, I'm going to do. That's on and off the football field. It's nothing like winning. It's nothing like the locker room. It's nothing like, you know, coming in here and talking to you guys after a win. It's all good after a win. So that's why I'm here, is to win. And this team is all about winning. I'm all about winning. And it was a good marriage.
You know, that was one of the first questions asked to Von Miller. And I sat there and I listened to it and I'm like, man, how amazing is it that the turnaround, the one-year turnaround, because Dan selling the team obviously was the most significant event in recent sports history in this town, gave us a chance. But then after the season last year, you know, primarily because of Jaden Daniels, Von Miller, who had choices, he not only came here because of the quarterback, he came here because this franchise now is all about winning. What a change. Unbelievable change. When he said you just can't leave Josh Allen and go anywhere, he's saying you can't just leave in my position, getting ready to play my 15th NFL season, a two-time Super Bowl winning player, didn't get to a Super Bowl in Buffalo, but got awfully close. And he picks here because you can't just go anywhere after playing on a team with Josh Allen. You have to go somewhere that has Josh Allen. And he's essentially saying, yeah, you got to go somewhere where you've got an elite quarterback, and Washington does in Jaden Daniels. And then to talk about how when you get older, losses pile up. They hit harder when you get older. So you got to focus on going to a team where it's all about winning. And he picks here. Man, if times changed. The next soundbite I picked out was him just talking about his role. I think it's another David Aldridge question. Go ahead and play it, Chris.
You hear from AP and Dan specifically about how they plan to use you and what they want you to do?
Yeah, they're going to let me rush. They're going to let me rush. That's what I do. That's what I do. You know, I can still roll out the bed, you know, at 36 years old with my house shoes on and still rush the passer. You know, there's other stuff that I got to work at to get better at, of course. But the main thing for me is rushing the passer. I can do that right when I wake up, fresh out of sleep.
Yeah, he can do that. And, you know, I go back to the other day when Adam Peters said, in talking about Von Miller, he used the word shocked. I was shocked when I turned the tape on. And basically he said, and what I was watching was Von Miller, like Von Miller at his best. Look, he wasn't at his best in terms of overall impact because he has become a situational, specialized pass rusher. And that's what he became in Buffalo last year, especially after, you know, the ACL injury in 2023. But what Adam Peters said, every advanced number, and even turning on just the highlight reel from Von Miller from last year, says, and that is, in terms of talent, if he is what he was just last year, he'll be the best pass rusher on the team. Now, will that equate to the most sacks? No, but it'll make it easier for everybody else because you'll have to focus on him. Incredible get off, incredible pass rush efficiency. The win rate was really, really, you know, a solid number. And if you get Von Miller threatening defenses on second and long, third and long, final 2 minutes of a half, final 2 minutes of the game, and that's when he's going to be in there. You know, he said, they signed me to rush the passer. I can still do that in my house shoes after waking up. And, you know, the contract that they gave him, $6.1 million for 1 year with another $4.4 million in incentives for a total of potentially $10.5 million, that's not nothing on a one-year deal. So there are some expectations with him. This was the plan all along. The plan all along was, yeah, we know what we didn't get in the draft, but we've got a plan to add another pass rusher. And the plan was, I think, initially, we'll go after Myles Garrett if he's available. We'll look at Trey Hendrickson if Cincinnati drops the price. We're interested in DeMarcus Lawrence. We're interested in Joey Bosa. They signed elsewhere. And then you had, you know, the Clownies and the Za'Darius Smiths and the Matthew Judons and the Von Millers left. And Von Miller looked at this organization with probably multiple options and said, quarterback, and they're all about winning. And they're going to let me do what I do best, which is play 30 to 35% of the snaps and go get the quarterback on third and long. It's going to wear 24. He talked about that. There was an answer, and I didn't cut this for you guys to listen to it. My apologies. But the answer about the jersey number was really mature. He said 58 was taken, 40 was taken. Just so you know, when we say taken, 40 is Tyler Owens, and 58 is Jordan McGee. It's not like those numbers, you know, his NFL numbers were taken by, you know, Bobby Wagner and Marshawn Lattimore. You know, they were two players that probably are going to be on the team, okay? They're both going to make the team more likely than not. But, you know, probably not a lot of money required to take it away. And he said, quote, 58 was taken, 40 was taken. I'm not the guy to come in here. It's not that serious, meaning to push to get one of those two numbers. I just want to win games. I'll put on whatever number you want me to. And then he said, not whatever number. He said, it's some numbers that I wouldn't put on, but 24, which is what he'll wear. He said, it just spoke to me. I've only worn four numbers my whole career, going back to high school or little league, 58 in Denver, 40 in LA, 40 in Buffalo. And I think he said he wore five when he was a kid, can't wear five here. And he wore 24 in one game in college for a friend of his, who was a teammate who was involved in an accident, that paralyzed him from the neck down. His name was Corey Borner. But anyway, I love that answer because it's like there are a lot of guys, even at 36, whatever, they're going to come in and say, nah, I got to get my number. I'll pay for it, whatever. That doesn't matter to him. He's wearing 24. He was a big Champ Bailey fan, obviously played with Champ Bailey in Denver for many, many years. And he's a massive Kobe Bryant fan. So that number, he said, spoke to him, and it was available. It was available. Von Miller going to be, if he plays, he's healthy, he's a factor, he'll be a go-to guy for for everybody in media in this town. All right, when we come back, something Dan Quinn said today that I want you to hear about the seventh round running back, Jacory Kroski Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. You'll hear it next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So we are nearing the end of the first few days, first kind of work week of training camp. I think the first training camp practice opened to the public. Chris, am I correct about that? It's Sunday? I think it's Sunday's practice.
I think that is the first, yeah.
Yeah, the 27th. So, and, you know, they'll have New England team workouts and practices before their first preseason game. He actually talked about that, but I wanted to start with, look, there's a lot of hope. There's always a lot of hope this time of year for certain players that, you know, fans fall in love with, people fall in love with. And Jacory Kroski Merritt, their seventh round pick out of Arizona, really out of New Mexico, because that's the last time he played a full season. He played just one game in 2024 at Arizona. There seems to be a lot of optimism about Jacory Kroski Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, and the head coach was asked about him. Here's what he said.
Morning, Dan. Morning. We've talked about it. The running back room is deep. You got some players in that room, specifically Jacory Kroski Merritt. How does he jump out to you, and how does he fit into that room?
At that position, like I said, it's a hard one to evaluate in non-pads because you don't know if did the person make the tackle, did he break the tackle? And so it's offensive line, defensive line, and running backs are sometimes the hardest. But what you can evaluate is the explosion on the cut, the assignment, was the read correct? And having Anthony here is a really big deal, you know, from a running back standpoint. He's got so much experience, can give the insight to the players to absolutely get them right. But I think it's the violence of the cuts, you know, that he can get his shoulders square and get downhill fast. So I'm very excited to see, once we get into some opportunities where he Does he get tackled? Does he not? Does he run through some? So, but he's off to a really good start.
Some good insight from the coach. Like, we always talk about which are the positions that are really hard to evaluate without, you know, watching them play in real games with a real game plan. He said offensive line, D-line, and running backs. And you get the running back thing because if they're not getting tackled, I mean, you know, that's yards after contact. And you're looking for, you know, the vision, but it's all on tape heading into it. The vision, which was there, and the ability to be that, you know, cut, one cut guy. In fact, I think he looked more like a zone runner at the college level. But yeah, there's some talent there. There's no doubt. You go back and watch some of those highlights from New Mexico in 2023, and you wonder about Jacory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, if he had actually played an entire season last year in the Big 12 for Arizona rather than one game before they ruled him ineligible because of apparently something that was pretty bogus in the way that he had gotten to New Mexico. But perhaps he wouldn't have been a seventh rounder. You know, recency bias. If he had gone for 1,200 yards for Arizona and been a big-time factor in the Big 12, maybe he's a fourth or a fifth rounder. That's possible. And there's historically a big difference between fourth and fifth round running backs versus seventh round running backs. You know what? Running back is one of those things you can see a little bit of in preseason. You see the vision. You know, there was a guy that they just released a few days ago prior to camp that they kept for the last, you know, 12 months, more than that, I guess. Michael Wiley, who was an Arizona running back, right? I think he was. And he really showed something in terms of his vision and quick cut ability in some of those preseason games that he got into. And I think they liked him, but they just didn't feel probably as good about him as they did with what they had because he ended up being on the practice squad. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see on, you know, Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. That's his nickname. I think that's what we'll end up calling him. This was Quinn talking about what he wants to see early when they get to those intra-squad practices with the Patriots.
You talked a little bit yesterday about really looking at some of the players that just came here, Goldman and Kinlaw and all those games as far as how they're mashing. In the early stages of camp in getting ready for the Patriots and the Ravens in a squad scrimmage. Early on, what is it that you want to see from this team as a whole?
Understanding one another. I want to hear the communication. That's what I want to see at practice. So they have a rock solid understanding of a technique. For people that have had lots of experience, okay, I've done it this way, but this is how we'll do it here. That's a big piece of it. The next piece is their ability to us as a staff find the unique things they can do and then draw it out of them. And so us as a staff getting to learn who the player is, what their strengths are, that's also part of the next month.
Yeah. You know, he didn't necessarily address specifically that thing. But by the way, it's just one practice. It's on Wednesday, August 6th against the Patriots at Gillette Stadium before their Friday night first preseason game on August 8th in Foxborough. And, you know, coaches have said over the years that those joint practices are more valuable than the preseason game. And the reason is you can go starters against starters. You don't have to worry about when they're pulling theirs out and you're pulling your, I mean, it's a joint practice. So we want your starters on defense against our starters on offense, and we can run a lot more plays and get a lot more work than we would in one series in a preseason game. So those tend to be much more valuable in coaches' abilities to evaluate players. So we'll see when we get there. We're still, you know, 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from tonight, the first preseason game. All right, there was other things Quinn said, but nothing overly consequential. And who knows? Maybe we'll get something over the weekend. By the way, I'm on vacation next week. I'm heading out. Denton will be in for me, I think, for a lot of it. But I will certainly be back well in advance of their first preseason game for that entire week leading into the first preseason game against New England. Thanks to Chris, who did a good job this week, in for Max. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to Buzz Williams. Chris Russell is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.